During the past semester, as part of our UMBC American Studies class, students have worked on the Bromo Speaks project to produce a radio series that highlights the voices of the residents, artists, workers, and business owners in the Bromo Arts District in the west side of downtown Baltimore.
Founded as an arts district in 2012, the Bromo Tower Arts and Entertainment District strives to unite the city's west side community and underscores its potential as a thriving arts neighborhood in downtown Baltimore.
Students from UMBC worked to gather over 40 interviews with various people living, working, and visiting the district. These voices highlight themes such as history, neighborhood change, racism, structural inequality, displacement and development, and the potential future of the area.
Throughout this project, we have tried to give voice to the often unheard people on the ground. We attempt to leave the listener with as many questions as answers in order to inspire people to think about how arts districts can change a city.
The voices you will hear are not monolithic, and the Baltimore Traces Communities in Transition project is ongoing. For more information on the project, you can visit baltimoretraces.umbc.edu. Thanks for listening.
Park Avenue.
West Franklin. Utah Street.
Chicago Avenue.
West Redwood.
Howard Street.
North Pack.
West Saratoga.
Madison Avenue.
West Bromo Baltimore. Speaks.
I'm Nancy Fadley Devine.
Hi, my name is Dina Hagag.
Steffi Wise, Baltimore. We do custom clothing.
Hi, my name is Dominique Johnson.
Lee Heineman.
I'm Spoon Popkin.
Michael Anthony Farley.
I'm Ryan Mitchell.
Bochai Pop.
Hi, my name is Diane Corbett.
My name is Sheila Gaskin.
My name is Stephanie Wallace.
And my name is Laura Drupal.
All right, let's do it.
In the front gallery now. This was a former shoe factory at the turn of the century and has lived many lives as a mercantile outpost.
So I think, like almost all development in every major city like Baltimore.
Today's story.
Things just start to shift, and it happens very fast. So we've seen it.
Well, the upcoming changes, yes.
Change.
They're basically trying to reinvent itself with the
That's when the raw bar came about, and we had the cooked food then. So that's why it looks like it does today. But it happened over many, many years. We just didn't start like this.
Thank you, sweetie.
So I think, like almost all development in every major city like Baltimore, it's just like bittersweet in a lot of ways. And I don't know how to feel like that because, frankly, in so many of those ways, it does not affect me directly. Lexington Market is a place I get to frequent and have fun at my own discretion and disclosure. So I don't know. I'm both sad and understand, and that it sucks to be in that space. It feels like being a part of the problem, frankly. But
Lexington Market, who is now Lexington Market tenant, has been nothing but supportive. And out of all the stores I've had, I've never gotten as much support as I've gotten from them. They've been nothing but supportive. The media you guys are probably here as a result of some kind of way Lexington Market. Most freestanding stores like me don't get the kind of press. You guys don't come looking for interviews, but because the market has put me in such a light, it's got me the Baltimore Sun and other things because of the market being such a machine that it is. So I love the area, and it's changing, drastically changing, quickly.
I agree. I think Dina said pretty much everything I was going to say. I think it's awesome that people have access to like fresh fruit and vegetables and that sort of thing. But I think change is inevitable, and I think we all know what happens. Like you put like a mini Whole Foods in here, and like the crowd is very different, and like things just start to shift, and it happens very fast. So we've seen it happen so many times.
For me, it's a little. I'll believe it when I see it because the Lexington Market has been talked about the entire time that I've known about it as something that's always about to change or about to be redone or a problem that needs to be addressed. And while I would love for it to stay exactly the way that it is, I guess I'm holding my breath waiting for change to actually happen.
You know, we're the shock troops. They're usually happy to hustle you on along to the next shitty location.
The shock troops?
Yeah, you've never heard that? They refer to a lot of cities sort of consider the artists the shock troops of gentrification. That they'll go into places where other people won't go. They will take risks that other people won't take. They'll live in substandard conditions. And they'll fix it up themselves. You know, and then when it gets to be nicer and other people are like, oh, not so bad around here. Then rents go up, real estate taxes go up if you've bought your place, and then somebody calls the city on the shitty wiring that you did, like a load of fun, and then you have to go on to the next thing.
I don't know. I just don't understand. Like, there's such a bountiful supply of land. Like, if you look at Baltimore on Google Earth, there's a neighborhood the size of Mount Vernon just on the other side of the freeway that's all parking lots. Like, if you want to go build, like, your stupid, like, Harbor East world, just do it there. Like, why does it have to be this? Like, why does it have to be, like, turning what once was a bodega into a bodega-themed brunch place with valet parking in Hamden? True story. Food Market on West 36th Street is literally, like, a gentrification-themed business. It's like, if this were, like, Epcot, this would be, like, the gentrification ride is valet parking your car to go drink mimosas in a place that used to be the bodega where I bought Newport 100s as a teenager with food stamps. Like, what is going on with the world? Did you have anything?
Yeah, I guess just as far as renovations and, like, reinvestment goes, I think there should be a priority on using demolition as a last resort, an emphasis on preservation, and not displacing the businesses that are also successful here in favor of something else that's more boutique or whatever, and not so that the people who currently use the commercial spaces here can still use the space.
Totally.
It's really hard to say because this area is, so many areas that go through gentrification, it's kind of like, I think it's kind of neat that the Arts District is down here and they're not, you know, they're not evicting people to make it, like, make it into a yuppie haven or something. So I think, I can't see it not being an issue. And artists in general usually are the younger group and they're not afraid of neighborhoods like this.
We just all need to come together and work on it. We didn't get this way overnight and it's going to take some time to get where we can get. But we must have a planning idea how we're going to get there. And we must include everybody. You know, if it takes us to change people's mindset, and it's going to take a while to change people's mindset because we got to win their trust back.
Yeah, but people are getting together. People are, they're going in different spaces. I know I've grown immensely since that whole thing began, and I'm able to go on this side of town and go this side of town and cross-pollinate. And so we want to increase that because I've been to a lot of art museums that I wouldn't go to ordinarily. I'm like, I'm a theater person. I ain't going in here. But then I've been going to some shows. And it's been groovy.
I've seen more artistic things happening around here. Like you guys didn't come around here a year ago. Now I've gotten more from young people coming through doing interviews than I got a year ago. Literally, I've gotten about two, you know, several folks have come around in the past 2 months, more than what I've gotten for the past year that I've been here from independent artists looking for interviews or what have you. Like, I don't know you and you don't know me, but you heard about me some kind of way, so you came here to do an interview. So that means it's beginning to change. The narrative of downtown Baltimore is changing.
Has it been a recent change that you've seen?
To be honest with you, I have not seen, like, dramatic change. Mm-hmm. I will say that on my block, there was a building built. That building was built, and it was sort of like a parking lot and some a few derelict buildings. I actually would have liked to have seen the little buildings that were there that were sort of historical, maybe incorporated, but it didn't happen.
I think a lot has to be done, and I for the neighborhood. because I think putting $26 million in here, they might, I don't think that's going to change the neighborhood. I think they've got to do some other things, some very drastic things and dramatic things. And I think everybody in the city has been reluctant to do that. But I don't think that if you, you know, change the way they were looking at it, to me it was going to look like any mall or any place else in the country.
Yeah, from interviewing people around here, yeah, people aren't too thrilled. They're like, it's going to change, you know, it's going to become like another Inner Harbor, which is scary and saddening.
Definitely be vocal and not be afraid to kind of question people's motives whenever they talk about things like economic revitalization and question like who it's for and what that means for the existing communities that live in these spaces.
I'm excited about the development that's happening over here. I think there's a lot of potential in this area, and I like that people are like coming in to check it out. And it's also really interesting because it's very diverse and mixed, so it's really awesome just to be here tonight and have like so many different people out. So it's cool.
Anyway, I gotta get going because okay. It's so late, but
yes, well, thank you.
Big
very,
conversation,
very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Today's piece was produced by Adam Droneberg. All the interviews heard in today's episode were conducted and recorded by UMBC students. Next time on Bromo Speaks.
And then why are you so threatened by uniting? And the more diverse we are, the more segregated we will become.
Arts and the current state of the area.